You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
All right. Welcome to the Beer Tour Guy Show podcast. I'm your host, Steve Johnson of Motor City Brew Tours. And this is episode 21. We're going to say part B today. Doesn't that sound weird? Or part two? I don't know. I got the man from Baffin Brewing Company. We already cracked open beers. Why don't you introduce yourself, talk about what we're drinking about, and we'll just roll right into it.
All right. Hey, everybody. My name is Evan Feringa. I'm one of the co-owners of Baffin, one of the co-founders, too, the head brewer. And today we're drinking our new can release beer, Mango Unchained. We've been brewing it since day one. It's been our most popular beer since we opened. It's a mango IPA that we use all real mango, no extracts, no concentrates. I don't do any fake flavoring at Baffin.
And I think that's a big point when you describe a beer. I like that you call it out. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people don't always understand that, right? And that's a great point to hit home.
Yeah, a lot of people, they come into Baffin and they're like, oh, I don't like fruit beer. I don't want fruit in my beer. And we're like, well, hang on. Do you eat oranges at home? And they're like, well, of course. I go, well, then try this. You know, it's all real and it makes a huge difference.
I think so.
Yeah, you don't get the medicinal taste. You don't get that sweet.
That's a big word, kinda, by the way.
No, medicinal. Yes. Yeah. A couple syllables in that one.
Yeah, no doubt. Don't spell that, but you can say it. That's cool.
Yeah. And so it's just kind of a delicious, light flavor, but very smooth IPA.
Well, I love the packaging. I'm going to take pictures. I'll post it on my socials and we'll tag Baffin on it. Packaging looks really good. It's a nice six pack, very clean with a full color Baffin logo and this awesome hop busting out of a mango graphic, I guess is what we'd call that.
Absolutely.
Right? Who designed that for you? Who designed your original graphic? And is it the same person that designed this or is that different?
I designed the original graphic of the dog.
Look
with
at
sunglasses
you. Okay. And that was a family dog.
Yeah.
Right?
Baffin was my dog.
Your dog.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a 145 pound Bernese Mountain dog.
Only 145 pounds.
Only 145 pounds. But I am not that great of an artist to draw our current logo.
I actually like it though.
Yeah. This is great. This is not our original logo.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, okay. No, well, good. I hate your original logo. No, I'm just kidding. I understand that too. I designed my logos and I just relaunched and redesigned and cleaned up.
I think
up.
Your looks great.
And this is a little different. No one can see this, but I'm wearing a big hoodie, the only one I have with this on it, right? And I get it, right? Because you're in your own little world and you're like, I could design something. And,
yeah, for sure.
And it's a cool idea what you did with the dog and the glasses. And
yeah, Baffin, we actually always put glasses on them. So that's kind of how
everyone likes dogs, as you figured out right away.
For sure.
You know? If you just have dogs with sunglasses and maybe you next to the dog holding a beer.
It works for Tinder profiles, so why not us?
Yeah. And maybe a cute girl walking by and then you snap the picture and then post that on Instagram and just tag dog and girl and beer.
And it would get a million likes.
It would just blow up, right? Where if we just took a picture of the two of us sitting here, even though you got an MSU hat on.
I don't know, maybe 12.
Yeah, maybe,
12,
right?
Votes,
maybe,
like that.
You know, maybe some people we don't want are going to like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, one of our friends is a graphic artist and we asked him to do the logo. So he redid the logo, actually drew Baffin. And then he does all of our can art. And so we just released this can. We're all over the place, which is super fun for us. And then we're going to be releasing our Imperial Coffee Stout made with fresh cold brew coffee that we get the beans roasted and ground at New Order in downtown Detroit. And then we're going to release our Doc Double Rice IPA.
Double Rice IPA. Got to say that so slow, right? I was talking about Double Rice IPAs last weekend as I was at another brewery on a tour. And it's funny, people attribute Drippas with Kunin, at least in this area, right?
Yep, absolutely.
And it's funny, they're just like, oh, I love Drippa. Let me try that beer. I'm like, well, we're at a different brewery right now, just so you understand, right? It's not that Drippa. I mean, it's a great beer.
Yeah, for sure.
It's not that Drippa.
Yeah, they were the ones in the area that really founded the style, at least in Michigan.
For sure.
But it's, people have been brewing with rice forever. And
totally.
It's a really great meld because you have the dryness of what you're looking for an IPA, but then if you back it up, which we do with honey, and then it kind of rounds everything out, makes it smooth, and then we aggressively hop it. So it's just kind of a delicious combination.
Another great beer for sure. And I just throw Kunin in because that's what people attribute it to.
For
but
sure.
I love to see that you're doing it, and I see other breweries doing it too. And for a long time, it was just like, you can't do rice. That's crazy. That's what Anheuser-Busch would do. Uh-huh. Screw them. And you're doing a cheap beer, and that's totally not the case in respect to how you're doing it or Kunin or any other brewery doing
it. Hey, I love brewing with corn and rice. I love those two ingredients in beer. They do great things.
Well, that's pretty awesome to hear it. And like I said, I love the graphics. So how's it been launching a product in the market outside of your brewery?
Incredible.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so we've been open for 4 years.
So 2015, January 2015.
Yeah, January 21st, we opened. So we were doing kegs to restaurants and just accounts in our own little community in Macomb County. But now we're canning and it's taken force. So we're in Oakland, Macomb, Wayne, and then we signed with Fabiano. So we're hopefully in the next couple months,
north up into Saginaw, Flint.
Yeah, all the way up that area and then to Mackinac Island. That
kind of that's
thing.
Crazy.
Yeah,
man.
They have that whole territory.
That's a good point. I don't think about that. So you have, Petaprin?
Petaprin.
Yep. I can never say that fast. Yeah. Petaprin and then Fabiano, who you signed with, those two. Okay.
Correct.
And then you're contract brewing this through Brew Detroit and Corktown? And
absolutely.
I'm correct on saying that, right?
So, yeah, we actually we've made 600 barrels at Brew Detroit as of yesterday.
So was that pretty scary then going from your – what are you, a 10 barrel? You're five barrel system. And you went to – it's a 100 barrel system,
It's a 100
right?
barrel system, yeah, and they have 200 Woo! Barrel fermenters.
Right, right. Yeah, I've toured and I bring people in there on a pretty regular basis.
It's gorgeous.
I'm very familiar with the system there. But was that pretty scary, that first – run?
Yeah, like, it was a lot of math.
I'll bet it was a lot of math.
We had to figure out the hop utilization and the
luckily
mango.
You're college educated. You're a Spartan, correct? You're a Spartan?
Yeah, and absolutely. And then we
– So obviously educated correctly.
Yeah.
You're not. It's not like you're from U of M or something.
Oh, for sure. No, nothing like that. But sorry, everybody. But yeah, so
– I'm not sorry.
We got all the formula right. And then Joe Thorner of Brew Detroit is one of the smartest people we've ever met. So he really helped us. But we got everything correct. And then our first run with cans, we're crossing our fingers because we have no idea.
How do you know?
Yeah. Right. And then once it came out, it tastes great. It's honestly one of the best batches of mango that we've ever tasted. So
that's got to feel really good.
It's fantastic.
I have to admit, it does taste really good. I mean, I've had it every time I've ever been at your brewery. This has always been one of the multiple beers I would drink. And
for sure.
I've always had a good experience with it at the brewery in the five barrel. But wow. Yeah, this is clean. It's coming out exactly what I want. I can't wait to next time I do a long distance bus trip, throw this in the mix. Or now this will be an example of something. I do beer tastings on the Detroit Princess Riverboat.
Yeah,
so I'm pushing in a lot of package. It's only package product that I do on the beer tasting. So now with a can option like this, I can now bring something cool like this on there. And
I
get stuff directly a lot from Brew Detroit when I have the option to. Or whatever distributor that I'm dealing with that does Wayne County. So that'd be what, Petaprin?
No, Fabiano.
I'm sorry, that'd be Fabiano too. Okay. I don't know. I'm not a distributor, so I don't always think about it. You're living that world right now of having
I never
to think
thought
of,
about it before.
Yeah, now you're really thinking about it,
absolutely.
Aren't you? Oh, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. So has it you've been feeling a certain level of pride then as you go into a store and you see it kind of stocked, or maybe you see a display that popped
it's,
up?
It's a lot of fun to walk into a store that the first time I ever saw a tap handle at a bar, I was a little intoxicated and walked in, and I was so excited. And I went to the bartender. I go, I made that. You're like, I'm so excited. That's me. And she's like, I don't care. And just walked away. And I was like, well, cool.
That totally makes sense, though, doesn't it? Like, it's either that or your buddy be like, you need to get over yourself.
Yeah,
you know?
I was just like, I'm so excited to see it for the first time.
That's
and then,
so funny.
But and then it reciprocated a little different. But when I saw it on, in cans in the shelves, I just got so excited. It pops out really great. And then we've actually gotten texts to some of our friends being like, hey, look what, and like I have a couple of friends that are dads. They're like, look what another dad brought to like my kid's swim meet or gymnastics meet. And it would be a can of Baffin. And it would just be friends of friends. So they don't even know, that we as individuals exist. So it's really cool to see.
Was cans always the form factor that you wanted to go with?
Yeah, absolutely.
For those exact reasons,
yeah,
right?
Because
you can kind of take it everywhere.
Yeah, we never wanted to go with bottles. You can't take those to parks and pools. And we're big boat people. So we wanted to make sure that we weren't going to, break any glass on a boat.
This isn't a label on here, is it?
Correct. It's not a label. It's
I feel stupid. I know you see me. I'm sitting here trying to pick. I'm like, this isn't a label. Is
no,
it?
It's printed. Yeah, we went with the iris process to print
Holy
it on.
Shit. Okay.
Yeah,
I don't see that all the time now. It looks awesome.
Yeah. There are cans that pull it off really, really well, and it fits. We just wanted to make sure we were putting something out that was never going to leak. A lot of the cans that have a wrap around them, when they seal, they don't seal properly.
True.
We just wanted to get that. We're like, all right, let's get rid of that entirely. Let's print it on.
So that's a larger commitment then up front because you're printing on the can versus a label? Is that would
yeah,
that be
it's
correct?
a little bit more expensive in the long run, and then we have to sacrifice with colors, so we're only allowed to use 5 colors total.
Okay.
So
yeah,
we had to sacrifice a little bit, but it still looks great and it feels great, and then the packaging is fantastic.
Oh, how very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wow. Well, that's a lot just on that, eh? Well, let's change gears then on that. So I already said you're open 2015. We talked about that. You're a few years in. What has changed in St. Clair Shores since you guys opened? Let's like go into some of that. So you came into St. Clair Shores. No one was brewing beer over there. Mm-hmm. Kind of the closest breweries would have been, say, like Dragmead
or maybe
Great Baraboo kind of.
Yeah, Dragonmead, and then down in Grosse Pointe would be Brad with Atwater in the Park.
Atwater in the Park. Yep. Yeah, that's true. Okay, I always forget he's kind of right down on the edge there.
Yeah, for sure.
So big gaps in between there, and you guys came in, and that was exciting, I would think, for a lot of people in the area.
It was.
You're in a very
we were welcome
clear location for people to hit in St. Clair Shores, mm-hmm. being off Jefferson.
Yeah.
Let me not say Mac and talk about the other brewery. That'd be awkward.
No, it's fine. No, but, we've been supporting all those guys ever since.
So
they opened.
Those guys came in a few years later, Jamax.
Yeah,
and then
Jamax.
There's a third brewery that I think I got the name right. Copper Hop Brewing.
Yep. Copper Hop is they're currently in the mechanical drawing phase. Planning phase of the brewery right now.
So like in 2 years when they get all that done, then you'll have like a third brewery.
Yeah.
In the area. But oh, so you guys come in excited public. You're in kind of this slightly older building, had lots of different businesses in there over the years,
for sure.
Some restaurants pretty close. But bam, you come in and there's beer drinkers kind of ready. Was what you kind of always hoped for when you started?
We planned, we're all 24 and 25 planning this. We're 31 now and 30.
You started when you're like full of life and energy, and now you got a little more experience behind you. Is that what you're trying to say?
Hate life and we're depressed.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say that. Like, you're not like in your 40s like me, so that's like totally different conversation.
There's still hope, I guess.
To me, you're like full of life and
for
got
sure.
energy, okay?
For sure.
I'm trying to throw as much energy in as possible so you don't think that I'm older.
No, right? I appreciate that. No, thank you.
thank you.
Yeah, we were kind of welcomed with open arms. We planned for the worst case scenario. So we planned for break even. We're like, oh, if 20 people come in a day, on a Saturday or Friday
sure.
or something like that. So we planned for the worst and we got the best. So when we opened, we ran out of beer in 10 days. We went through 33 half barrels in 10 days.
Oh my God,
which
really?
Was insane. And we were only open for 5 hours a day. And I think we only opened Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
I don't even remember it like that now that you say that.
Yeah,
but,
it was
okay.
absurd. It was absolutely absurd. So we had to shut down for 2 weeks. And then reopen on Friday the 13th, February 13th.
Well, that's
that
not
year.
Scary or
no,
anything.
Not at all. Not at all. but it fit. Like, we had to do everything 2-3 times in the building, and still to this day, stuff happens, everything breaks, and so we just have to keep doing things over and over and over until we get it right. So that's kind of the
– But I think that's the nature of anybody as you start up. If someone said they had all the answers and they started, they'd be so lying.
Oh, for sure.
There's just
Absolutely.
No way you could know that, right? Just equipment's going to break. People aren't going to work out the way they would that you hire, whatever,
mm-hmm.
Customers won't come in the way you thought, or too many will come, or too little will come. All those things happen and kind of the cycle of a business there. And
yeah, for sure.
So now, now that you're a few years into this, wow. Now you got this knowledge and now you can say, hey, okay, let's take on a new challenge and bring a product to market
yep.
like this and distribute and see how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel like the timing was good now? Like, so you kind of conquered
Great.
The pub part of it, the brew pub part of it, and said, okay, let's take this part of it on as opposed to doing something different maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. So we wanted to grow with our market and we didn't want to kind of just – I would think, put too much out there at one point. We didn't over-leverage anything. So we wanted to build a brand, make sure we were doing everything right, and then kind of move into what people wanted. So we wanted to get pulled into market instead of pushing our product out. We learned that from the great guys in the area. I mean, Kuna and Dragonmead, Larry Channel was my mentor over at Dragonmead. So he was always talking about, let them pull you, don't go too fast. And so that's
what great advice.
Yeah, and that really stuck, and we've been doing Baffin ever since.
So do you think – did you look at – we don't need to name anyone. It doesn't matter. But but if you look in the market, there's breweries that definitely didn't look at it like that.
For sure.
And
yeah,
came out right away, and people didn't know really what they were about. Or maybe their beer wasn't prime time for that, or they thought it was, but maybe it wasn't.
Yeah, it only really works if you have a ton of money. And you can make mistakes and do that.
I totally agree. I've been in this – well, for a tour operator, I've been in business 10 years now. But I've been – I like the industry for years going into it.
For sure.
And I have a sales marketing background. So, like, I look at those case studies a lot, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's part of – and I have an MBA that focuses on marketing. So like when you're in an MBA program, all you do is case studies on companies and you look at those types of scenarios, right? Mm-hmm. So I think now like it gives me an interesting way to view the industry because I can see those things.
For sure.
I could see them happening almost right as they open. Like, oh my God, that really wasn't the strategy they should have looked at, mm-hmm. or you know, blank, blank, and blank, right? Or you know, and because as craft beer got so much bigger – a lot of euphoria, a lot of breweries opening, and then other money comes in from people who maybe aren't as genuine in the industry, right? Like I could usually tell super fast when I meet someone, I meet new owners, mm-hmm. where they stand in that whole equation,
oh,
right? And I'm not here to name people, right? That doesn't matter for our show, but I'm just saying like in general, like I could tell right away when I met you guys, like you were excited about the whole industry and you wanted to do the right things and mm-hmm. you guys had your head screwed on straight and you didn't like, oh, we're going to open up three places. And we're going to like take over the whole Michigan beer scene. And those other like 400 breweries don't really matter because we're going to make the best beer. Like, and when you hear people talk like that, you're just like, all right, let's get this back down to reality here.
I mean, I would love to open up three places.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
be
and I'm not saying that isn't awesome. Like, that's totally awesome.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of players out in the market
for
now.
Sure.
And, you know, you guys said, all right, we're going to be about St. Clair Shores and we're going to do right.
Yeah, we just wanted to make beer that we couldn't kind of find out in the stores, and there's a ton of beer that we love, and what's kind of funny is people always come over to my place, and I always have a 12-pack of Molson, and they always just stare at me. I'm like, I just love the beer. I don't know, but we wanted to do stuff like the mango with real fruit because we love fruit beer, but we hate fake fruit beer, and so we wanted to do that first and foremost, and then we wanted to have fun and kind of brew things our way. And like if you go into the pub, we'll never have anything like a two-hearted because I can just go to the store and get that. So why would I make that? Why do I spend time to make that? So, you know, I go do that. I drink other people's beer all the time. But, you know, the ones that I can't do, I brew.
I like that. That's a cool philosophy mm-hmm. on it. And it's understanding kind of the market.
Yep, for sure.
Right? Like you don't need to follow. You don't have to have a Founder's Solid Gold
go into market and to try to kill another brand is just the wrong way to do it. You just have to kind of find your own and come into it. And that's – I feel like we've done that. And
so this was considered kind of your strongest beer, I would assume,
so
right?
So for my one partner, Joe Dowd, he knew from the get-go that this was going to be our flagship. I did not. And I didn't know what our flagship was going to be.
Was the first beer I had the first time I came into your brewery. I will admit it was, and I probably didn't think that at the time either, mm-hmm. but I liked it.
Yeah, and we brew three times as much of any other beer in-house, and it sells twice as fast.
Awesome.
So that three times sells twice as fast. So it's insane how much.
Doesn't take a rocket scientist to say, okay, well, then if we're going to package something.
Yeah, for sure. And then for the other ones, we're going for stuff that, one, we can't find in the market, and two, what we really love to drink. So that's kind of what we're going for.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I like that. Yeah. It's a fruited IPA that's not overly fruity. Like I've had mango beers, right, where the mango is too much for me. Like,
way too much.
It's good as a beer sample. Yep. I always said like, oh, this is good as a beer sample. That's code for me saying like I couldn't drink a pint of that.
Yeah.
But it's me not trying to be rude.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? So
sometimes beers are really delicious, but I don't want to drink a whole pint of it. Like,
sure.
You know, the crazy, let's go with, you know, weird flavored stout. Or whatever, you know, just like a coconut cream pie, whatever ale.
Totally.
Sure, I want a little taste of that, but I would get sick after drinking a whole pint. But this is an IPA first and a fruit beer second. That's kind
of I'm going to tell you, as you get older, that gets worse. Like I used to be able to do a lot more at a beer festival. Now I have to go in with like a philosophy of how I'm drinking that day.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Like I just
you already have Advil and a little like
satchel. It's a
on
whole
the
setup. Like, you know, okay, let's say my winter beer fest setup. So we run a bus from Royal Oak to Novi to Grand Rapids for the day for
Absolutely.
The fest, right? On Saturday. So we had 40 some odd people. We do our thing. And I've done that for like, I don't know, 7-8 years, almost the whole time we've been running the business. But now it's like I make sure I get 8 hours of sleep that night. I don't drink more than 2 beers the night before. And then when I wake up in the morning, I make sure I have like a bowl of cereal, a banana, some orange juice. I take
regiment.
Do you know what emergency is? I take that packet of emergency. I put it in. So I do all that before I leave the house, right? Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I have some aspirin on me.
Of course.
Of course, I have like my kind of fest pack that I have in my little bag
emergency
while I'm on the bus.
Yeah.
No shit, right? Like you got to have that. And then I need something with caffeine for when I get back on the bus at the mm-hmm. end of the fest. that's not too sugary, but definitely has caffeine, right? Like, it's a whole thing. And I'm sure when I first started 8-9 years ago, like, I didn't think of any of that.
Yeah.
Like, maybe I had water. Maybe I didn't.
Maybe water just, yeah.
Maybe, right? But I'm sure I was drinking. Now, like, you know, we offer the first round on the bus going down to whatever fest we're driving for. And I'm not drinking during that, right? Yeah. Like, I need to be on, you
for
know?
Sure.
And plus, I'm getting in on the enthusiast hour. So I'm going to be in there, like, probably 6 hours.
Absolutely.
Like 6 hours of it's us having time. Fun conversations like this, me, like, in front of your booth drinking a beer and then going to, like, 50 other booths and doing the same thing.
Absolutely.
And trying not to over – like, I need a philosophy now. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, for sure.
Like, this time for Winter Beer Fest, I was porters and stouts. I stayed away from sours, which was hard to do. And I try to stay away from barrel aged.
You can't drink so many sours, though. You can only you can have five.
Yeah.
And
that's kind of how I am when
you're
I do it, right?
I have heartburn now. I can't.
Because it sits somewhere and it's not going to be good later if you do that,
for sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And then I have to, you know, I have to stay away from the whole. So, like, I won't do hops then or hoppy beer in that philosophy, right? And then at another fest, I'll flip it and I'll be like, all right, I'm going to be about pails and IPAs with the occasional. Light something mixed in to kind of adjust the palate around, right? And I don't know. That's just me. I don't know. Other people can jump around. But as you get a little older, like, I've just noticed my body doesn't let me jump all over the food chain like it used to.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. I just have to accept it. I don't know. How about you? So as you've been in the industry for a few years, do you have some weird ways you approach festivals or events or, now that you're promoting
it
this?
It depends on if I'm working or not.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point, right? So if you're working – are you pretty much not drinking?
Oh, no. I'm still drinking. Like, absolutely. If I'm working – if I'm there, I'm drinking. And I know so many of the guys in the industry and because I've been in for a while now. And then I just go to their booth. We try each other's stuff all the time. But if I'm not drinking, I'm having a great old time. And I'm just, you know, grabbing the tokens from our own thing, drinking, having a great time. If I am working, then I'll sip on some stuff for the entire time. I'll always keep a good buzz, but – you know, I'm not going to have as much, let's say, fun, you know, quote unquote, as I would if I was just kind of walking around having a good time.
Yeah, this last time, the buddy that was drinking with me was helping pour for a couple hours. So I had a couple hours where I was kind of by myself, so to speak. And I was like, I noticed at the end of it, I drank a lot more.
Because
normally when I'm with him and I'm kind of watching myself a little better, it's funny. Like, you know, I almost need someone to hold my hand sometimes.
Yeah,
because you get excited, right? You get
excited talking
to all your buddies. You know, same with you. I know all these brewers, and it's so much fun to jump and hear what you're doing and hear what that brewery's doing.
Yeah.
And then you don't do the count, right?
And then everybody wants to give you the new stuff,
too. No doubt, right? And they don't want to give you, like, the 3% new stuff. They want to give you, like, the 12% new stuff, you know? And you want to try it. You don't want to be rude. It's like the Italian mom giving you something to eat. Like, you can't tell her no.
No, you can't. You get hit that way.
Yeah, totally get hit. That's not cool. That's totally disrespectful to Italians and totally disrespectful to brewers if you don't do that.
You can't disrespect the family.
No, no. In the family, everybody knows each other, right?
For sure.
So we can't have that.
Yeah. But I wasn't at the fest. Was it good?
It was cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it was typical, I think, you know. Crowded on Saturday like it always is, not really crowded on Friday.
Okay.
You guys haven't traditionally brought a booth for winter, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah,
you guys do summer and fall?
Yeah, we're going to be doing winter next year because now
are
we're
going
to be cans and we're going to be moving
up there.
Grand
and that
Rapids.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
okay. I kind of wondered if you'd change that up.
Yeah, we're going to be releasing all kind of three of the styles. So the mango, the stout, and the double IPA. We're going to be releasing all that at the same time with Grand Rapids. So we have more of a shelf space.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so we'll be there next year.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, how exciting.
Very.
So it's going to be a whole thing, man. You're going to need hotels. You need transportation.
No, we'll sleep in our cars.
Oh, you think so, huh? When it's like 20 below and GR out. And
I do love a good campfire. So there is that.
So, okay. So we just had Fat Tuesday yesterday.
Yeah.
So you guys do something special with Brew Detroit, your partner. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, we do a Punschki beer, or Polschki, sorry.
I say Punschki, so whatever,
I know,
right?
But the Polish people yell at
me. I know.
So.
They go crazy
at
that.
So last year, we came up with this crazy idea to throw 40 pounds of Polschkis into a beer. And
that's about 150-ish, right?
Yeah, 12 dozen. So,
oh, okay,
yeah.
12 dozen.
So 144. And when we were researching it, not a single other brewery did it. And that kind of surprised us, especially in Detroit. We thought at least somebody would have done it. So then we started looking more about just donuts, blah, blah. Found one other brewery that just like a month ago made a Krispy Kreme beer But when we called them, they were like, it's not done. We have no idea how this is going to turn out. Yeah. So, and we're like, what'd you do? They're like, look, we don't even know. They're like, we just took a blind shot. We're like, all right, cool. Thanks for the advice. So, when Joe Thorner and Ryan and all those guys, came to Baffin to brew this beer, we were going in blind. Like, we were like, okay, well, here's this stout that will kind of bring out the flavors of the Polnischkis and the whole deal. We're going to mash for them. That's all we know. But as we did it with the first year, it was fine. It wasn't the greatest beer. It was a dry stout, what it turned out to be.
It's like kind of like an Irish stout, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. So all the sugar that's in the Polnischkis and the glaze and all that stuff, which you could smell the glaze when you were brewing it. It was nuts. That all fermented just purely in alcohol, so it was very dry. So this year, we redid it, made it a milk stout to make up for the dryness, changed the recipe just a tiny bit, and it's great. It's fantastic. You get a tiny amount of the donut in there. You get a jamminess in the background. It's really good. We really enjoy it.
So is the thought process then you're going to try to do this every year?
Yeah. It's going to be kind of our – we don't want to be known for being that brewery that makes crazy – like an odd side ales, like crazy kind of inventions that –
used to be, yeah.
Yeah, we don't want to do that. We want to make really good beer and not be known for the crazy stuff. So we're going to do this every now and then.
Okay.
Just at the brew pub. But that's it. So that's – we're going to have it every year though.
So what were people's reaction kind of this year? So you were at the brewery yesterday while this is being served. Okay.
Yeah. The reactions were kind of the same. People were like, oh my god, this is surprisingly good. Or people would say, this doesn't taste like a Polnischki. Where we would say, yeah, I know. We brewed it with them. We're not putting flavoring, right? So we're not making a strawberry beer or a blueberry beer or a raspberry beer. We're throwing all of those in Polnischki form into a beer, and that's what you're drinking. So it's a different mindset. And we've had to do that since day one where we would make like blueberry beer or some sort of ale. And people would be like, well, this doesn't taste like it. And we're like, well, it does, but it's not the flavoring. So that's been the number one thing of changing people's mindsets. And
I would think so.
It's
people
tough.
Get programmed like, oh, every time I've had that, it kind of tastes like this.
Yeah, it tastes like X or Y. One of my favorite stories is we do a beer for Valentine's Day called Berry White. It's a mixed berry wit beer, strawberries, blackberries, blueberries, and raspberries.
How romantic.
I know, very incredibly. I mean, you just drop your voice a couple octaves.
Right, and everybody loves it. I could do that. I really can't.
So. But so when we kegged it, the first year we were open, these four guys came off the boat and I mean, they've been bass fishing all day. They were in camo, like they're dressed to kill a duck. And, and these guys came in and they're like, oh, what's your lightest beer? Do you have a Bud Light type thing? We're like, no, brewery. And then I would go, well, hang on. I just kegged this beer. It has a whole bunch of fruit in it. They're like, oh, we don't like that. I'm like, I'll buy your first pint. See if you like it. Well, after they took a sip, they looked at each other like, oh, it's fine. And then when I came back, when all the glasses were empty, they're like, another round. You know, they loved it after that. So that's been a blast.
That's satisfying, isn't it?
Yeah.
To get that kind of light beer drinker.
Yeah. If I can have three guys, minimum weight of 250, been on a boat fishing for bass all day and drinking fruit beer, that's a win for me.
I would say so, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, as opposed to who you think might be, you know, stereotypically kind of interested in that.
For sure.
It kind of goes to show that nowadays all kinds of people are into beer wouldn't have thought when you first maybe got into it. Like me, I don't want to like pull the I'm older guy card here, but I will. Like when I started beer in the 90s when I was in college at Western Michigan and Bell's was, you know, just kind of opening up their tasting room and it was such a new concept. It was all the stereotypical stuff, right? Like
for sure.
Guys drank beer, women drank like wine coolers. We still use that term back then. And that was kind of how it worked. And, you know, but now I would say 10 years into running my tour business, I get asked this stuff a lot. Like, well, what's your clientele like? I'm like, it's 50% guys and 50% girls.
Absolutely.
And then the age range is all over the place.
All over.
Because you got older folks that maybe they're empty nesters and now maybe they're doing more social stuff because their kids like went off to college or they're married off and like – they're rediscovering things, right? And now they came into your brewery and then they came in once and then they came back again, right?
Yeah.
And now they're just like, what are you doing next? What are you doing next? And then they're excited, right? And then they travel and then they go to other breweries. And that's like another set of people that
absolutely
maybe you didn't think, right? Like it's not just breweries have beer nerds standing around all the time. And those guys are great, right? I love those guys and girls that are like that. But that's just one segment of a bigger set of people that are into better beer or better anything.
I think
locally made products.
A big thing with that is that breweries, the older breweries, it took a long time for them to adapt to this. Is that you know, before it was like a boys club, and we've been on the forefront and at least trying to change that entire thing.
Sure.
Because more and more and more women drink beer, and we want to have them in our place. Like, why wouldn't we, first of all? And it's interesting to see breweries that still have that boys club mentality, and we're just shaking our heads. We're like, why would you do this? Why do you hate people? And so they're starting to change, and the ones that are changing are being successful, and the ones that aren't are starting to fade away.
Yeah, there's definitely a bit of a – I don't want to say divide, but there's definitely like a – because we have a couple waves of breweries now in the 1990s going forward, right?
Yeah.
So from when I kind of came into it's when the brew pub law changed in Michigan in 92.
Yeah.
So you have like those first wave, a little bit of the second wave with the Koonins and Dragomines, and you guys are definitely in the third wave – opening up in 2015 like that. And now you come in and you're like, wow, the whole world's interested in this and I could do all kinds of things. So I want to attract all kinds of things.
For sure.
And then your mind's just open right out of the gate. Where someone who'd been in business for 20 years.
We didn't
years,
have to change at all.
Yeah, 20 years. They're just like, well, I've been doing this for a long time. About, oh, I don't understand why like I'm selling 100 less barrels than I did last year.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because there's people who left and they're going somewhere else.
Yeah, they're going to somewhere where they feel comfortable.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's interesting. It's like this whole inclusion concept, this diversity concept. It's something that with my tour business, I'm always intrigued when I get a more diverse customer on a tour, different ethnic groups that maybe I wouldn't have predominantly thought were interested in beer. And then they come. And I never want to like make it uncomfortable, but I always want to pull them aside and be like, can I like ask you like 5-6 questions because I'm so interested?
Well, that's the marketing side of you.
But
right?
It is, isn't it? Right? Like it comes from that. And I'm just like, I want like 100 more of your friends to also come on my tours. And I'm just interested in like how you heard about it and like what got you interested in it. Like, you know, the common, I guess the common being out of Detroit would say, how do we get more African-Americans interested in craft beer? How do we get more Asians and Indians interested in craft beer?
I think all of it is the more that beer explodes and becomes normal in different communities and environments and age groups and whatever, the more it's just going to open up to everybody else. And
I so agree with that.
And that's what's fun about this. And then what's even better about that is then you get different like beers. Like if you go to a different part of the country, you'll have more spiced beers and different types of spiced beers. Or if you go to another part, you'll have different types of IPAs and they're using their local ingredients and local spices. And that's what's super fun to me.
That's what I get excited about when I travel. It's part of why I want some beers that are specific to certain markets not to be available in my market.
Yeah, for sure.
It's almost like a selfish thing. Like when I go on vacation, I want to try new stuff that I can't get in Michigan.
Yep.
I'm not going to Michigan to drink Bell's Two Hearted. I like that beer. It's great. I want to drink it, but I don't want to drink it when I'm in Florida.
Yeah, for sure.
I know it's sold down there.
I mean, well,
but I'm not looking for
then
it.
Then again, there's a lot of breweries in Florida that I would love a Two Hearted next to me.
I totally do agree with that. I'm about to go to St. Petersburg, Florida, down in the outside Tampa area there. And so they have a whole slew of new breweries that just opened up. So once I come back, I'll probably have like funny stories of, oh my God, you know, like how different was that?
Yeah, it's you know, the water is different everywhere and they have to be super careful in Florida because the water's not great. So they have to reverse osmosis everything, and that takes forever, and it's a headache. So it takes a lot to get great beer in Florida, and the ones that are doing it down there are doing it fantastic. But there are a lot of people that don't have the resources in order to put those massive filtration systems in.
I think that's why they – of a state, they've been slower to probably gravitate toward having brewery scenes down there. I mean, a couple of years ago, I wouldn't have been talking about anything when I go down to Florida, right?
Yeah.
But now, this is all fresh because in a month I'll be down there for like a week.
Nice.
And I've been researching. I'm like, oh my God, look at all these breweries that are like in St. Petersburg, St. Pete Beach. Like, holy crap. They were like, I don't know, 20.
Yeah.
And I thought, 20? What's going on? But it's all like 2 years, 3 years, four years old, right?
Yeah.
And some of them have packaged product already in the market, and that's pretty interesting. And, you know, I'm excited to kind of experience it that way down there. I've been to lots of other states where I've done the same thing, but other states were a lot further ahead of where, you know, like Ohio, for example, right? Ohio's exploded the last couple of years of breweries.
I was just in Cincy. They had great beer in Cincy.
Cincy,
so good.
Cleveland, both those markets, you know, Columbus. Yeah. I was down in Columbus last November, did the whole BrewDog thing. Mm-hmm. But we went to a slew of cool breweries down there. All those breweries are like 2, 3, 4 years old.
Yeah, I just want to drink craft, like good beer wherever I go. I don't care who it's from. I don't care who's making it. I just want to have a good beer. That's all I care about.
That's always been my goal too. And I'm not looking for the next hype thing. I'm just looking for, hey, if this is the cool local place that people went to, I'm excited about that.
For sure.
Right. Awesome. Good conversation. Wow. We're just like rolling along. Like we're been talking for years here, isn't it? Right?
Just old friends.
Old friends, right? So I'm excited. I am bringing folks in on April something. I don't know. I'm just the owner.
April.
April 13th, I think, is the date.
Plus or minus four.
Yeah, and I got you guys. I got Jamex, your neighbors down the road. And yep. I got Dragon Meat on a three-pack. Cool. I haven't really done it quite like that before, but I like it. I'm kind of excited. It'll be like three diverse places.
It'll give a good mix of beer, too, because Dragon Meat, they make authentic, you know, style ales, and that stuff is amazing. What they do is incredible. We do IPAs and, you know, fruit beers in the mix of two, and we throw a whole bunch of weird stuff in our beer. Jamex, small kind of community type brewery where they're doing their own thing, and so it's you're gonna get a good mix for those three.
Yeah, I've had Kat and Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Kat and Jeff. Sorry. Kat and Jeff on the show before, and they were a lot of fun. They were really enthusiastic and
for sure
reminded me of like what I might have been like when I was in my 20s, probably. Right? So, what you used to be like in your 20s, I don't know. You know, so yeah, they were a lot of fun.
Better
to
back.
Talk to.
I had a much better back when I was in my 20s.
You think so?
Oh, it's destroyed now. It's tanked.
You are a brewer, so yeah, you're gonna need someone to carry you at some point
for sure.
That's all right. You're making it happen now, right? Look at you.
Yeah,
in the prime of your life, right?
I just drink and Advil. That's it. Boom, nailed it.
That's funny. We'll talk about chiropractors on the next episode. Maybe I'm going to see my chiropractor tomorrow. So
okay,
I'll probably have.
Hopefully, you're not paralyzed, but you know, good luck.
Hopefully not. No, I like this guy. This guy's cool. He's kind of into beer. So now that he knows like the business I run, he wants to like ask me about all that as he's giving me an adjustment, and I'm just trying to be like focused when I'm in there, right? Yep. He's a nice small business, so he's a small business guy. I'm a small business guy. So, like, he wants to talk about that, and then he wants to talk about beer business. And I'm just like, you know, I just want, like, my neck fixed. And, you know, just as you're doing that, I want you focused on – he's the nicest guy, by the way. And I just want you focused on that.
Yeah.
Right?
Make me feel like I'm 22, please.
Totally, right? Like, I should have done it a couple of years ago. I don't know why I waited so long to do all that. But I get it. I'm not – having to lift what you have to lift, but I understand. Okay, what else do we want to talk about? What else should we talk about here? What do you think?
Well, I mean, we're just super excited about cans. That's kind of just all in my brain right now. But
so what would success be then a year from now? So a year from launch, what would be success in your eyes of that? What's your hope?
I mean, my hope is to have, you know, the two more styles on the shelves and kind of get more outreach and then start to work with Canada. So that's where we want to go.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah,
okay.
We want to go there next. We're so close. My cell phone thinks I'm in Canada half the time anyway. So,
oh, that's funny. I never thought about that. So as you get a little closer.
Yeah, it's probably on my way because I just drive up the lake to work.
Yeah.
Probably, I don't know, 3-4 times my phone's like, hey, welcome to Canada. And then it's roaming and then back to Canada.
In the summer when I'm doing bike tours in downtown Detroit and I'll get on Belle Isle, it'll constantly, obviously, you go on Belle Isle, boom. Mm-hmm. Or the events we're doing on Detroit Princess Riverboat, same thing.
Yeah,
I'm always
for sure.
Like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Trying to turn that off.
Yeah, but so success, I mean, would be just getting these cans out there, still having them out there. And that's, you know, once you're there, it's easy to get out. It's hard to stay, to keep it. And then get those three, start to do seasonals, and then start to look at Canada. That's kind of our whole goal.
Oh, I like that. That's cool. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of opportunity, I would think, with Canada.
For sure.
You know, they're not quite as many breweries in Canada.
Absolutely.
Definitely a lot of opportunity. I was in Toronto just after Christmas, and we went to a lot of really cool breweries while we were there.
Yeah.
What a different cost structure.
For sure. Yeah.
Wow. That's
alcohol,
something to
alcohol
get
percentage
over.
Really screws you.
Yeah. Like totally. Like every – like the – was it LCBO, which would be the beer store there in Toronto, to get – they had a good local beer section, but it was like 16-ounce cans were $4 typically, $4 to $5 a can.
Yep.
So you weren't really walking in there and buying a sixer.
Correct.
You couldn't think of it like that, which is a mind shift for how we would look at it here in the States,
right?
Yeah,
it's totally different.
And the same thing as we went to breweries. If breweries had beer to go, and most of them seemed like if they did, it was canned. $4 or $5 can same way. Like it wasn't priced any different.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want a $30 six-pack, right, of 6% beer.
So my wife and I were staying in a hotel in downtown Toronto, and she's like, you want to get some beer for back? And I'm like, I guess so. I mean, like a pint would be $7, $8, $9 at every place. And that was just – so the first time you get kind of sticker shock, you're like, holy shit.
For sure.
You know, I thought occasionally I went into a brewery and it was sort of pricey.
Mm-hmm.
But now here, like –
it's taxed.
Yeah, now I just – it's all the tax basically. You know, we had a good time and brewers were doing interesting stuff there too and looked like there was a decent amount of diversity. A lot more cider, I thought, in Toronto.
Yeah.
I'd say every
brewery.
More of
an English thing, you know, and it translates over there.
Very, very diverse, kind of a melting pot in Toronto. That was the first time as an adult I had really gone to Toronto, and that was what I noticed. Every single brewery had cider.
Yeah.
And probably wine.
Mm-hmm.
So they might not have made the wine, but.
Yeah, we're going to open up cider, I would say, by the end of the year.
Yeah,
Yeah, we've held off on it. I particularly don't care for it. There are a lot of people making great stuff, like guys over at Sellerman's. Ian is fantastic. All those guys that work there, they're wonderful. I just don't care for cider, but I appreciate it. And a lot of my customers love it. So I'll make one or two just to have on tap people, but we're going to focus on liquor and beer more than anything. So we'll be distilling hopefully in the next 5 months.
That's exciting.
Yeah. So we're going to be gin heavy, gin focused, and not the Tanqueray type gins, not the juniper gins or the pine tree gins, the Belgian French herbal and citrus gins.
And why do you think that that's the way to go with gin? I'm not really a gin expert. So you're going with your gut, which says that's what you like in gin.
Yeah, it's something that you cannot find in the United States.
Okay.
And part of that is because the rules here say you have to make it taste like a pine tree to call it gin, where in Europe it just has to be flavored with botanicals.
Okay.
So that's kind of the difference. So we're going to kind of push the limit of what we can legally call gin just by the flavor of it. And so we're going to like take grapefruits and lemons and limes and oranges and run the distillate.
Wow, that sounds fun. I'd love to. I look forward to
trying we're going to be
those.
A gin bar.
So is that going to be all on site at the main brewery? So you've already bought the still?
Yeah, we have the still in there. It's huge.
Okay. Someone had said this to me on a tour, I don't know, a couple months ago. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, we have
I guess I haven't been in a little while, so I apologize for not knowing.
No, you're good. We have a 200-gallon still.
Okay.
We'll be able to make like 15 gallons at the end of it maximum, but we're going to only do probably about 10 at a time. So it's a lot of fun.
Oh, that's something. So is that – are you going to do that or are you –
Yeah,
gonna...
I'm trained in both brewing and distilling.
Oh, you were. Okay. So you went to Siebel Institute in Chicago, correct?
Yeah.
Look at me doing homework.
Yeah, no, look at that.
and it's what's available on the internet
yeah,
too.
Right.
So distilling, was that somewhere else? Like how did you
– Same place. It was just in a different course. I went there last year to get a train in distilling.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, we knew that we were going to do this.
Oh, that's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's a bit of an investment.
Yeah.
To do that.
Yeah, for sure. It was worth it, though.
Is that what made sense then when you looked at canning to outsource that to Brew Detroit?
Yeah, we're going to be doing kind of the method that Samuel Adams actually, believe it or not, they never had a brewery, I think, until like 2005 or 3.
Yeah,
or
most people don't know that.
Yeah,
though.
they only did contract brewing. So we're going to do that with our beer because that makes the most sense where our money is. And we're going to then invest what we have into distilling. So we can't do both. So we have to choose one or the other, and there really aren't contract distilleries. So we're gonna focus all of our resources on distilling, and then we're gonna work with other breweries to make our Baffin beer.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, for sure.
What a great thing to have someone like Brew Detroit close.
Yeah,
that you already knew those guys from the Punschke beer, but.
Yeah.
That's pretty fun.
Yeah,
okay.
For sure.
Oh, that makes a good business sense. Yeah. This is like the business case episode today, isn't it? Right? We're excited to drink in Mango Unchained here. So, okay. Well, good episode. Evan, I want to thank you for coming on and talk about Baffin Brewing. How much fun, right? A lot of stuff to talk about on this show, but this was a great episode 21. Mm-hmm. We're saying part two. So if people want to get more information about Baffin Brewing, what should they do?
Go on our website, go on our Facebook, Instagram. And then anytime you see a six pack in stores, talk to the owner, say you're excited. We're in Trader Joe's, which is incredible for us.
I saw the picture you guys posted.
Yeah,
that. I thought, I got to go into my Trader Joe's.
Yeah. So we're in Trader Joe's. We're getting to Whole Foods. We're going to be in Meijer, I think in the fall and Kroger. So it's, and then we're at liquor stores all over the place and we're having a blast.
So more importantly, make sure you buy it when you're out there because this is a great tasting beer. I highly recommend it. I don't always say that on a show.
If you like it and if you have friends who like it, get it. If not, cool. Just thanks for looking at it.
Yeah. Thanks for, you know, being a good person, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So thanks again, Evan, for coming on the show. To my viewers, next month, I don't know who I'm going to have on the show, so don't worry about it. Just know that I will have a show in April, and I'll have a guest. It'll be awesome, just like Evan here. So check out Baffin Brewing. Check them out in stores and at the brewery. Look for their awesome gin coming soon. And this is the end of episode 21. If you want to get more information about this episode and more stuff that I'm doing, go to MotorCityBrewTours.com. I want to thank Better on Draft for sponsoring this show and Podcast Detroit for having a kick-ass studio in Royal Oak. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you soon.